Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, The Christ That Dwells Within Us.
Piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints of the marrow. Listen to what it says about the word, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. Sight of what? The word of God. All right. It says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him who must give an account. All right. It says, for the word of God is living, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen. Flip back to Psalm 68 and 1 real quickly, and I promise you I'm going to get immediately to the text. All right, in Psalm 68 and 1, it says, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. Right, you might not understand it right now, but just do me a favor, say it with me together. Amen. Say, release me. Right now, don't get ahead of me, because that sounds like I'm talking about me individually, but that's not really what I'm talking about. All right, so stay with me, and I'll share with you in a moment what I'm really talking about. I mean, so say it with me one more time and say it in faith. Say, release me. All right, and you're not saying it real loud or confidently, so I'm gonna get you to say it a couple more times. Somebody say, release me, release me. All right, release me. All right, one more time, and you're about to get there. Say, release me. All right, I hope you got it. All right, because that's what I want to focus on. All right, this series has been entitled The Christ That Dwells Within. Release me. Somebody go ahead and say it for me one more time. Say, release me. Judah, you want to sing my sermonic hymn today? I know you're a psalmist now. No, not this morning. Okay. All right. I have no honorarium. You was just going to be practicing anyway, so that was a wise move. All right. Break every chain. That's an inside Judah joke, all right? Judah said, I stole his line. All right, somebody say it to me one more time. All right, say, release me. Release me. Now you need to stay with the context of what I'm talking about. Ernest, I hope you can figure out where I'm going. All right, say it with me one more time. Say, release me. Release me. All right, the content of this series is the Christ that dwells within. And today I want to talk about release me. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister. For these next few moments, God, give me articulation of speech. Most importantly, Lord, give me a thought, amen, that is anointed to break every chain, break every yoke, and set us free. That Christ could be who it is, what he is, and what he desires to do in our lives and around our lives and to all the world. We thank you. Bless this service, oh God, and we'll glorify your name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Say it me one more time. Say, release me. Release me. One of the truths that we must embrace is that it's time to move from defense to offense. I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, all right, so I need to make some inferences to big game day, all right? So do me a favor, go ahead and talk to your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, it's time to move from defense to offense. Does everybody pretty much understand that concept? If anybody don't understand that concept, put your hand up, all right? Moving from defense to offense. Defense has to do with protecting what you have. Offense have going to get what belongs to you, all right? We in the body of Christ, I think for several years, and maybe even back, 10, 20 years back to the Jim Baker days, seems like we, the body of Christ, we have been on the defense. And I think we've done a pretty good job protecting the house, protecting territory, protecting what belonged to us. But in order to go where we have to go now, we've got to get off of the defense and we've got to get on the offense. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The manner in which we unleash, and that's the word that was heavy in my preparing this message, the manner in which we unleash the offense has everything to do with how well we studied the offensive playbook. Time to get off the defense and get on the offense, but how well we unleash the offense has a lot to do with how well we study the offensive playbook. Do me a favor, if you have the Bible, hold it up real high, point it at somebody, and say, this is an offensive playbook. This is an offensive playbook. Right. In order for us to get off the defense, to get on the offense, it has everything to do with how well we study this offensive playbook. I imagine many of the reasons why we have to stay on the defense is because of our understanding of what's contained in the offensive playbook. There's some key plays in here. There's some key strategies in here. There's some stuff in here that will blow your mind and knock the back out of the devil if you knew how to apply appropriately in the right situation what this offensive playbook contains. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, study the playbook. Study the playbook. In this book contains counter moves and offensive moves to advance the kingdom and the kingdom's agenda. In this book contains information that will advance the kingdom and advance the kingdom's agenda, but it has everything to do with how much I understand it and comprehend it, know how to apply it, know where to put it there, know when to speak it, know when to pray it, know when to release it prophetically. I must know this playbook. Somebody say real loud, say, I must know this playbook. In 2 Timothy of this playbook, it says, but you may continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing that from knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from a childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise through salvation, through faith in Jesus Christ. All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Somebody sent me profitable. Just reading one book, I wish I was in Bible study, I would quiz some of you. It's one book in here says, if you read it, you will just receive a blessing just because you read it. Y'all looking at me in that tone of voice, so you're going to make me go Bible study on you. There's one book in here, God, and I feel like preaching, y'all. There's one book in here, it says, if you just open up and read it because you did that, I'm going to put a blessing on you. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instructions in righteousness. If we're going to move from offense, and I promise you I'm not going to be but that long, that in order for us to move from defensive, and we have protected the house well, we protected our families well, we protected a lot of things well, but now we've got to get on the offensive. Come on, tell your neighbor, we've got to get on the offensive. But the only way we're going to do that is we've got to understand this playbook. And I know I've said that at least three times now, but I'm saying it intentionally because we've got to really get this. This playbook shows us how to get off the defensive and how to get on the offensive. One of the most powerful weapons when we pick this up and we begin to study our offensive weaponry, one of the most powerful weapons that we have is the preaching of the gospel. And the thing that we have to understand, because the minute I say preaching, you think that's talking about Lawrence. But preaching has everything to do with proclaiming the good news
of Christ. Come on, somebody said to me, preaching has everything to do with proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. One of the things, if we want to move from offense to defense, is start getting determined that everywhere I go, I'm going to preach a 3 to 5 minute sermon. Preaching is offensive. Come on, tell your neighbors and neighbor, preaching is offensive. Preaching is a weapon, not complicated weapon, but it is a powerful weapon, especially in the midst of the wicked of this generation. We ought to now get determined. I ain't going to wait for them to ask me if I'm saved. I'm going to ask them real early, do you know Jesus of the Bible? In order for us to get on the offensive, one of the first things that we have to do is we have to understand this offensive playbook. And we've got to understand now that this hour requires me to open up my mouth and preach to my family at home. To my family at home. I didn't get that many amens, so I'm going to keep saying it. To my family at home. To my neighbors in my neighborhood, to my left and my right. When I go to work, to my coworkers. I'm not getting that amens because I don't know if we understood how powerful preaching really is. Through the foolishness of preaching, the known world was turned upside down by two men. What if us right here said the first initial part of all conversations we have, we're going to put in that the preaching of the gospel. Before I talk about the New England Patriots, before I talk about the Falcons, before I talk about what's going on with the stock market, before I talk about Donald Trump and Steve Bannon, oh Jesus, I don't even want to get on that subject today. I'm going to put in my talking the preaching of the gospel. Do you not know? What is that? I'm going to give you an example how you do that. Do you not know Jesus died for you? Do you not know he rose that you could rise with him in eternal life? Do you not know he is a healer of the body, soul, and mind? Have you met him? I invite you to meet him. He is the Savior of the whole world. I'm glad I got one person clapping. Do you not know what would be put to attention if you got on the offensive? I'm here to preach the gospel. I'm here to declare the good news. I'm here to speak well of the King of who I represent. Preaching is a weapon. And in order for us to get off of the defensive, we're going to have to study the playbook and get on the offensive. And one of our key weapons is the preaching of the gospel. And it's not complicated. Don't take all day. I know it might take me a long time to preach my sermons, but it don't take you all day at your job. I think sometimes we contend with what we contend with because there has been no preaching of the gospel. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, when was the last time you preached a good message at work? Come on, wait, come on, don't stop talking to them. Say, neighbor, when was the last time you preached a good message to a family member? Especially to the unsaved ones. If we're going to move from defense to offense, one of the simplest weapons that we can use is start getting determined determine that when I go to the bank, I'm going to ask somebody, how are you doing today? And then when they ask me, why are you smiling? Why are you so pleasant? Because Jesus saved me. He delivered me. If not for grace, where would I be? And then after that, I ask them, have you met him? That simple. And now the whole bank is on alert. Doot, doot, doot. We got one that's going to get everybody saved. Time to move from the defensive to the offensive. We invite them to get to know Jesus when we're preaching the gospel. We invite them to a moment of prayer. We invite them to church attendance, church fellowship. And then we invite them to let them know this blessing is not for you only, but it's for everybody connected. It's that simple. I'm going to say again, us Christians are too on the defensive. We so worried that if we mention Christ, they're going to ask us about the antediluvian period. They're going to ask us about the millennial reign of Christ. They're going to ask us, is Trump the Antichrist? So because of all of those things, we're tiptoeing around, don't want nobody to know we saved. And we got to get from defense to offense. And one of the simplest ways to do it is start preaching Christ. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you got to start preaching Christ. I charge you therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead is appearing, preach the word. And he didn't put a title before that. He says, I charge you before. He says, I charge you. He said, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. He didn't say pastor, preach the word. He didn't say minister elect, preach the word. He didn't say deacon. He was talking to the saints, which were being trained by Timothy. He said, preach the word. We've got to go to work with a different mindset. We got to go to Super Bowl gatherings with a different mindset. Wouldn't it be a shame that we had a great Super Bowl gathering and find out somebody died next week that was at the Super Bowl gathering that never met Jesus? We watched 7 hours of football and they was there to get saved because you being there. And we never was bold enough to get on the offensive and present Christ. Come on, do me a favor. Talk to your neighbor one more time. Say, we got to preach Christ. The preaching of the gospel, and I know I've slowed down now. The preaching of the gospel of Christ is the beginning of unleashing kingdom offensive weaponry. The preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ is the beginning of unleashing the kingdom offensive weaponry. Weaponry. Absolutely, there's much more. But it starts with preaching the message. And every now and then, you got to preach the message to yourself. Every now and then, you got to preach the message to yourself. That he saved me and I'm saved. He delivered me and I'm delivered. He made me much, that much more than I am, because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation and old things have passed away. And now behold, all things have become new. We cannot begin to unleash these weapons that we have until we comprehend the beginning of that is preaching Christ. And every time we do that, that which is within us is so ready to be unleashed. Do me a favor, talk to your neighbor one more time. Tell them, preach Christ, preach Christ. If I had a little bit more time, I would show you what a good defense is. I'm sorry. In Ephesians chapter number 6, 10 through 13, we see what a good defense is. If you are a football fan, when you think about good defenses, you go to the 72 Dolphins, 85 Bears, okay, Ravens fan, 2,000 Ravens. When you think about good defenses, you think about the 72 Dolphins. They didn't lose a game, so they had to have a pretty good defense. The 85 Bears, y'all remember the Bears? And they made the commercial in the refrigerator. They were smashing folks. and then the 2000 Ravens. Terrible quarterback, yet still won the Super Bowl. Because they had what they called a shutdown defense. In Christendom, when we want to think about a shutdown defense, we read Ephesians chapter number 6. Finding my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. That's a good defense. When we think about good offenses, 92 Cowboys, 98 Vikings. Now, how many of you guys are a football fan? Do y'all remember the 98 Vikings? Man, who was the quarterback? You sure? Please say it a little louder. And who was the wide receiver? Randy Moss. Man, they would, Culpepper would just back up. And you see Randy Moss running by everybody. And he'd catch the ball. That's what a good offense is. The 2000 Rams, the 2007 in Patriots, and some are now saying this 2016 Falcons. When we think about a good offense, we look at Ephesians 3, 8 through 12, because we got to move from a good defense, Ephesians 6, to a good offense, Ephesians 3. It says, to whom I am less than all the saints, the grace was given me that I should preach among the Gentiles. You hear what he's saying? That I should preach among the Gentiles, good offense, to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages have been hidden in God, who created all things in Jesus Christ, to the intent now that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purposes which he accomplished by Christ, our Jesus Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith. That's good offense. That now you're making known to the principalities and powers the intent of God. Defense protecting, offense advancing. Defense protecting, offense advancing. And the truth of the matter, that's why some of us feel so wearied. Because we've been on defense too long. And now we've got to get on offense. And you can get rid of this doxology in me. Any sports analyst will tell you a great offense will always beat a great defense. A great offense will always trump a great defense. And there are three things in the text that we can see very clearly if we're going to understand how do we move from offense to defense and how do we now unleash this offensive playbook. Number one is found in Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 11. It says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Here it is. All right. If I'm going to really have a good offense, number one, I must have more confidence in who dwells within us and rest in that. I must have confidence in who dwells within us and rest in that. I'm going to let that settle for a moment. How much time do we spend looking externally for what we truly desire? I'm going to let that settle. We spend much time looking externally for what we think will make us happy and please us. And the truth of the matter is, we ought to spend more time looking at what's within her. And I'm specifically referring to the Christ that is within us. Because Christ dwells within us. And we ought to spend more time looking to that Christ instead of if I get my hair like her, if I get a body like him or if I get the bank like them. We spend so much time looking externally, whereas we ought to have more confidence that this is what Colossians said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I really don't think on a level that's necessary, we have confidence in the Christ that is within us. Are you still with me, Minister Lynn? I really don't think we think that Christ that is within us is really all of that. And I'm going to get to the next point why we think like that, because I don't really think it even has a lot to do with the Christ that is within us. And if it does have to do with the Christ that's within us, it's the limited knowledge that we have of that Christ that within us. We've got to get confidence that the Christ called Emmanuel, the Christ that healed the sick, the Christ that opened blind eyes, the Christ that walked on the water and pulled Peter out of the water when he slipped after walking on the water, that's the Christ that dwells within. Somebody said real loud, that's the Christ that dwells within. You cannot read Matthew to John and see this Christ and then think that there is something insignificant in you that can't make substantial difference in your life situations. Number one, we've got to become more confident in who dwells within us. Come on, somebody say to me, say, we got to become more confident in who dwells within us. Come on, somebody say it one more time. Say, we got to get more confident in who dwells within us. Put in your notes 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19. You know what it says. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and now all things are made new. That's the Christ that dwells within. If I had a little bit more time, in that same passage of scripture, it says now the Christ that is within you will now cause you to, oh God, have the ministry of reconciliation, and now you will reconcile the world back to Christ. The inference there is that when Christ comes to dwell within, the intentions are, now you're going to have world impact. God. Oh, God. I hope I didn't spend too much time exhorting, and now I'm trying to settle you in the word that, oh, God, I'm boring you. I'm going to say that again. Go read 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19, because it said, if any man be in Christ, look here, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Now all things are been made new. And now because you've been made new, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And not only you've been given the ministry of reconciliation, now you're reconciling the world back to Christ. You were Christ coming in you. Now you are supposed to have world impact. And you think that's just something little in you? More confident in who dwells within you. And this is all we have to do is think about what he brought us out of. Think about what he delivered us from. Think about how he changed our conversation. Come on, y'all. Come on, come on. Come on, y'all. Y'all, I know y'all want everybody to think you've always been like you are right now. Look at yourself just 3 years ago. Where you are now, you have to get more confidence that there's something in me. Good God Almighty. We got to get more confidence in who dwells within us. There is somewhere that we have to transition to that we settle into trusting that because he's in, he's working all things now after his own counsel. And now, because he dwells within me, I'm moving closer and closer to having global impact. That happens by just continually decreasing. Are you listening? That happens by continually decreasing. You're not insignificant. So many things that has happened in this mind dimension that we're walking around thinking, well, was I a mistake? Should I have been aborted? We have all kind of thoughts. Now, we won't tell people generally, but we have all kind of thoughts, and we fail to realize all of that may have some truth to it, but because Christ has now come to dwell within me, that stuff has been washed away, and now I am a new creation, and now what dwells within me can come up with solutions at work, can come up with solutions in my community, can come up with resolve that my whole family come to Christ. But we walk around with low self-esteem. That's such a misstatement when Christ dwells within.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.